Next, we have a call from Ray, who's puzzled about enjoying his alone introvert time, but feeling like an extrovert in public. Following Ray's call will be our final teaching this month. J.J. West and Doug Barnes will shed light on men's defensive objections to addressing sexual integrity.
Ray in Atlanta, Georgia, listening on Sirius XM.
I got an interesting question and dilemma, or it's not really a dilemma. It's just maybe you can help explain it. I'm a very much of an introvert, but I can be like an extrovert, especially around people. But I enjoy my time alone immensely, and it's something where, you know, my wife can't understand it, and we've been married for 35 years. And are you guys familiar, like, with Freddie Freeman, the first baseman for the Dodgers, and what just happened with his son?
Yeah, I just saw a thing on it on ESPN about how his son had that medical condition that became life-threatening. It's like a neurological degenerative thing, real weird anomaly where his body started shutting down.
Exactly. So I'm watching the ball game the other night on the East Coast here, but you know it's a West Coast game, and he's just coming up. He gets a standing ovation, and I just get tears in my eyes, and I seem to be able to experience life through other people's emotions, whether it's on TV or it's in person, and I always lean towards the people with, you know, on the fringe. You know, I could be in a restaurant and I could see a busboy there and then everybody's ignoring him. I'll give him a tip, you know.
Yeah.
And things like in that nature and the aloneness. And, you know, as a Christian, I do believe our relationship is above and beyond, without doubt, with Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And I gain such strength from that in this aloneness and this time that I have alone. As I'm 66 and a half, and I just retired a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And I just look at it as something that's it presents an interesting situation. I don't know if you guys can explain this, because my childhood was very similar. I had very little social interaction as far as going out or at school. I was very shy. Mm-hmm. I walked home alone. All these kind of different things, but yet I can be very loving towards other people,
yeah,
and feel these emotions and stuff. So I don't know where that comes from in that way.
Well, and what's the question for us?
Well, the question is, in that situation, is it possible to be an introvert and an extrovert at the same time?
Yes, is the easy answer to that.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. So I'll answer that question because it's the easy one, and I'm going to have my wonderful co-host answer the more complicated and difficult ones. But I want to give an awareness, but it's a question. It's a Bible question, Ray. I don't know if you'll be able to answer it. I don't want too much pressure on it. But in the beginning of Genesis chapter 1 and 2, where God says all of this creation is good, in fact, it's very good, he said there is one thing that's not good. Do you know what that one thing is?
Well, I can imagine that the biggest thing I get from other people is you can't be alone.
That's it.
Bingo,
you nailed it.
Ray,
it's not good for man to be alone. And we know that aloneness comes with a lot of suffering, right, Mark?
Yeah. So to jump in where you started here, Chris, it is possible to be in between. Mm-hmm. Introversion, extroversion are on a spectrum. And there's a term called an ambivert, meaning that somebody is kind of in the middle of those two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what I want to kind of tease out a little bit. There's a difference between being shy here, Ray, and being an introvert. Introversion means that somebody just regains their energy from being by themselves, and they lose energy when they're around other people. It doesn't necessarily mean that they don't, that they're afraid of other people. Now, shyness often comes from a social anxiety. And that's fear-based, and usually that's linked to something that's happened in a person's life. So those two are a little bit different. The other thing I want to point out that I think may be true for you is that sensitivity is also on a spectrum. And people who are on the high end of the spectrum, there's this term called a highly sensitive person. And what you're describing here, Ray, where you can see other people and feel their pain even through a television screen, or you can notice the busboy on the other end of the restaurant and nobody's paying attention to them. People who are highly sensitive pick up on those things in other people and they feel them deeply. And so I wonder if, you know, you are somewhat in the middle, maybe on the introversion, extroversion scale, and you're an ambivert, but I think you're likely a highly sensitive person. And that's where this is kind of confusing you between, am I an extrovert, but then I feel deeply for others.
And Mark, what are the benefits of being a highly sensitive person?
Well, it's estimated that there's probably about 20 to 25% of people who are highly sensitive.
Yeah.
And this is just God's stamp on you. It's not something that you've chosen. You are just this way. And so it's important that you don't use that as an excuse to shy away from people. Because like you were saying here, Chris, it's not good for man to be alone. So people who are HSPs need to recognize this about themselves, but not use it to keep themselves withdrawn from others.
Yeah.
But also to know this part about yourself, to know that you might be more drawn in to helping others at times when maybe you shouldn't be helping others, or feeling more pain when really it's
so.
It's,
that
it's
sounds
about
like you got to really work on boundaries there.
Yeah, exactly. And you've just got to understand these things about yourself. The more aware you can be about yourself, the better equipped you can be able to help others. And it's also important to let people in your life who are close to you know this about you, so that they can understand what's going on, because they may label you as too sensitive, and you're not too sensitive. It's just something that's going on the inside, and that's the way you are. You can't help it.
You said your wife doesn't understand, Ray. And so I also want you to consider if it might feel safer to have empathic emotions for other people you're not connected with emotionally, but it might not feel safe to let your guard down with your wife, which could be connected to your parents. If your parents struggled to see you and connect to your heart, it makes it hard for us to do that in our most intimate relationships.
And that can be hard for boys, because in our society, it's socially acceptable for a female to have sensitivity. But for boys, it's not so much, and they can be laughed at, and they can feel like they're pushed to the edge. Is that what might have happened to you, Ray? Was that your experience as a kid? Were you sensitive and felt like you were on the outside with the other boys?
Oh, yeah. I mean, oh, for sure. What happened, though, is I would say later, like in like middle school, when people's personalities start to get bigger, you know, and I didn't go to any kind of dances. I didn't even kiss my first girl till I was 23, and I married her. And I didn't even know how people had babies till I was 19. And so, but on the aloneness end, this is what I don't understand, is that when you feel like you're, you know, in society and everything, they don't get you in a way, and then you feel this, or you feel this thing from other people where they feel like they're detached from society, that's where the Holy Spirit just comes in and just fills you up, and you walk like Jesus. And, you know, Jesus, of anything, he was always concerned about the least people.
For sure.
And
that's
and it's just, I guess, it's just overwhelming. And it's beautiful in a way. So.
Well, and Ray, you're speaking just to that. Is that a person that carries those sensitivities to the others in the world around them also carry a higher capacity for love, a higher capacity for compassion, and a higher capacity oftentimes to serve?
Oh, yes, I agree, because to me, it's the thing about serving is so much important, instead of, you know, then, you know, the relationship thing is where I have a problem with, is because then people want to see you more and, you know, and all that stuff. And then you've got to, it's almost, and that's where the boundaries come in.
Absolutely.
And that's what I don't understand too, you know.
Well, here's the other thing, Ray, is that what is happening inside of you when you see them, it has already happened inside of you. Does that make sense?
No, go ahead and explain that one.
When you recognize that outsider, as Mark was alluding to in your life, that is a part of you that is also feeling the hurt.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I see.
That's right. Because you already told us really clearly about you growing up. No one was tuned in to Ray. No one was paying attention to Ray. And so you're feeling and carrying that loneliness. And when you see it in others, it triggers that similar feeling inside of you.
Okay, I understand. I see that. But where does, but Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in you and
for sure
fills you, and he gives you strength to overcome that human connection where you're saying, gosh, your Father in heaven has given you so much love.
For sure. And I believe wholeheartedly in that. But I'm also going to ask you another biblical question.
Okay.
In the New Testament, when the body of Christ is referred to, what's it referring to?
It's referring to all believers together.
Other people. Yes, other people. Right. So we see this in the greatest commandment, that the resource that God is pointing us to is, of course, himself. But it's also like saying, hey, but also one of the major resources I've given you all is each other. And,
right.
and I think that there's a longing in you for deeper connection that isn't being met.
Ray, I'm a fellow introvert. And I think part of our sanctification process is the willingness to keep getting out of our comfort zone, to risk going deep with other people, not just recognizing those other outliers and giving the tip or tearing up when you see the baseball game, but letting people like your wife and other men in your church community get to know who you are. Now, I would bet you experienced hurt through that time in middle school. And so you may not feel compelled to let people really get to know you. And it might not come naturally to you. I prefer being alone myself, Ray. I'm much more comfortable by myself. But in order to fully live out the Christian life, we need to be known and know other people so we can get to know their deeper needs as well, to keep meeting each other's needs. And so I want to challenge you to even consider trying out counseling, because sometimes we have to start with the safety of a professional relationship and letting a professional get to know us so we can then transfer that process to our spouse or to other men in the community.
Well, and I also wanted to hear, Ray, too, if you were sheltered a bit here, maybe by your mom, because you talked about not even really knowing how babies were formed until you were, I think you said, 19 years old.
Right.
Did you have a parent who sheltered you?
Well, I had I don't know so much he sheltered, because my sister, who was 2 years younger than me, she's just the opposite of me. Mm-hmm. But I think what happened is, for some reason, I feel closer to women than I do men, because the way, in playing the sports I did and everything, and they would, you know, talk about women mm-hmm. and everything, it was just, I would walk away from it. And so I always feel closer to women than I do men for some reason.
Well, but that makes sense, because women generally communicate on a higher emotional level than men in general. And so, yeah, when you're, like you said, you notice this more when you got out of middle school, you got into middle school, right? When it's less socially acceptable for a boy to cry when they fall over and hurt themselves. Mm-hmm. And then you see these boys who start to jockey for attention, right?
Yeah.
And manhood. And so, yeah, it makes sense that if you are a highly sensitive person, that you would connect more with females.
Well, and so you just recommend me to see a counselor? I tried to get a counselor with my wife.
Yes, yeah. But here's what I would also recommend, because I think there is still a lonely boy inside mm-hmm. of you walking mm-hmm. around.
Yeah, I agree.
And so I would recommend some individual, but you're set up perfectly for the emotional mm-hmm. freedom workshop, where you're going to be able to do a little bit deeper dive into your own story, into your own process, as well as get in a group with other men that allows you to process it at a deeper level. So as much as that can sound intimidating, or maybe it sounds exciting, I don't know. But Ray, the Emotional Freedom Workshop, again, is designed specifically for you and what you're going through and how to get to that next level. And the more that we can connect with ourselves and understand our own story and what's going on inside of us, the easier it is to connect with the people around us. And the more that we have a higher level of acceptance for ourselves and what's going on inside, the easier it is to accept other people and connect with them. And so I want to really, really encourage you in that way to attend the Emotional Freedom Workshop.
And there's other emotionally intelligent men out there too here, Ray, and other men who are in touch with their emotions. And I think probably some of your growth is learning how to connect with other men who on that level too.
Yeah. So, Ray, thank you so much for calling in today. We're going to send you the Emotional Freedom Workbook.